Do you hear that? Stop. Listen for a sec. That's the sound of background noise, and it's starting right now.
Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise today. As always, I'm super excited, but today it's a special episode because this is going to be the season 2 finale of Background Noise. I can't believe I've already been doing this show for 2 seasons. It's been incredible. We've talked to a ton of amazing artists. We've met so many people. A bunch of them have become friends now, and it's just been all around an amazing experience. And so for my last season finale, it was just me kind of talking about my background, why I do the show, and sharing some of my favorite Canadian bands. But I felt like I wanted to do something a little bit different again for the season 2 finale. And I brought my good friend Todd on from the Yardbird Suite. He's a very special dude to me because he got me connected with Community Radio and Big E Radio in particular. We both have a show on there, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But we met at Rockfest years and years and years ago, back when I was just a little radio intern. And wow, have things changed and grown, and it's awesome. So I thought it'd be really cool to bring Todd on because he is a pretty, I'm going to say, prolific member in the Edmonton jazz scene. How you doing, Todd?
Dora, I'm great. And you know, I do listen to your show as much as I can, but just this brief introduction. I remember when we first talked, when you were at Nate and we were talking about the Rockfest, you were a member of the media. And I remember you distinctly, you're insanely articulate and you've got this presentation style that is ideal for radio. I want to congratulate you on finishing up your 2 years here. I think you're a natural born media personality. And I say that sincerely.
Aw, thanks, Todd.
You're welcome.
It really is fun. I know I love working with the radio. I love talking on air. And it's funny because growing up, I always got in trouble a lot at school for talking way too much. And nobody told me that one day you could just have a job talking too much.
Yeah, man, you know, for us, I'm sure that your listeners know, this is a labor of love for everybody at Big E, for you, for me. In fact, we pay for the honor of inflicting our musical tastes onto the masses.
It's true. I do always laugh whenever I tell people about my podcast. The first question they always ask is, do you make money from your podcast? And I always go, no, I actually lose money.
You know, from my perspective, I'm executive director, by the way, of the Edmonton Jazz Society, and I operate with a really fantastic team of people. Edmonton's home for jazz, the Yardbird Suite. We're 67 years old this year, and it's a pretty iconic establishment, both within the province and Canada, and also in international circles. So I've got this jazz show on Big E Radio, and I find that it dovetails so well with my job. What we'll do is I'll go down a rabbit hole of YouTube artists, a lot of new, fresh Canadian faces I've never heard on commercial radio, and I'll often play their tracks, but I'm going to reach out to them as well more times than not to say, hey, I'm Todd, playing this song in my show. Maybe you can give me a radio ID. And once we start talking, I've often ended up turning one of those cold calls into a booking at the Yardbird Suite. So to me, this hobby that I've got here in jazz production, in radio, it supports what I do here at the Yardbird. And the main theme about our radio, as you know, and one of our themes about the Yardbird Suite, is we try to give good performance opportunities, particularly to the unknown names who are fledgling, who are trying to make a name for themselves. So radio play is part of that, booking the Yardbird is part of that, and it becomes, in my circle, like really much a love-in between producers, DJs, and artists.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Before we get too into the music and all the amazing things that the Yardbird does, let's take it all the way back, Todd, and just tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get here? How did you end up doing the bookings for the Yardbird? And how did you get into jazz?
Okay, you know, I'll start at the beginning. I started out as a child. I got my love for jazz, and it's lifelong love, by my parents. They were beboppers and beatniks and, you know, beat poetry. Probably smoked a lot of left-handed tobacco. But my household as a child was always filled with the likes of Miles Davis and Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong and Duke. And if you name the beboppers and the swing time era jazz people, that was the soundtrack. We always had music on in the background growing up. And my professional career, though, when I was a younger man, I was volunteering pretty actively in the music scene at the Folk Fest at a place called the City Media Club, which is long closed down in Edmonton. And that got me meeting people like Peter North and Cam Hayden, and a lot of movers and shakers in live production and audio world when I was a late teenager. My day job at the time, I went to school to work as a violent cessation counselor in prisons. So for about 10 years, I specialized working with predominantly men doing time for offenses related to family violence. And I did that for 10 years, and I realized I needed a change. It's hard working, like spending a third of your day in a very oppressive environment. So I went back to school, and I went into communications and media. And from there, I went into speech writing for the government, working for the Royal Alberta Museum. Got to write speeches for numerous culture ministers. And after suffering that and missing the relatively stable life of prison when you're working with government figures, I ended up getting an opportunity at CKUA Radio. And that was one of my best 5 years because I learned some of the inner workings of what made radio good, the personalities, the stories, the artists. And from there, I had an opportunity land in my lap to produce a charitable rock festival. So it was a classic rock fest here in Edmonton. And I ended up hiring the likes of, Prism and Harlequin and Trooper and some international acts that were mostly from the 80s and 90s, Rick Springfield, Lost Lobos. And I was at that for about 7 years until COVID kind of rendered me and our organization, unable to operate, like with every band, every festival, every live music venue. And it was a long 2 years during the shutdowns of not a lot of professional hope for me. So after the first 5 months of being shut down without a job, that's when a bunch of us got together and said, how are we going to remain relevant? What's going to get us out of bed in the morning? And we created Big E Radio, and it's still going today, even though that most of us are back in the fold, back touring. I was able to land this job at the Yardbird Suite as they reopened up again. We still kept the Big E Radio concept going because part of our mojo is giving play to musicians who otherwise get ignored by terrestrial radio.
What a wonderful story, truly though. And Big E's mission there with giving the plays to the bands that don't normally get terrestrial play. That is what Background Noise is all about as well, is finding all of these amazing, wonderful, talented, incredible artists all across Canada, which we have an amazing music scene. I don't care what anybody says, because sometimes when I tell my friends that I love just Canadian music, they cringe. And I'm like, shut up. Canadian music is amazing. And we have a great scene, and it is aggressively overlooked and overshadowed. And so that's why it's my mission to expose your ears to as many amazing Canadian artists as I can. That's why places like Big E Radio exist, so that we can show you that Canadian music isn't what you think, and it sounds like everything else, and it's great.
And I was so glad when you did join this radio team, because I was very familiar with what your emphasis was in other media, where you did interview people who flew under the radar, people who desperately needed not just exposure, but they needed, venues and opportunities to get their good creative works to the masses. I see you do exactly that. You seem to be very tied in to this network of new and up and coming artists, and artists who are perhaps not getting the name recognition that they should. And I really give you a lot of props for helping out our industry from the ground level up. Kudos to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Now, one scene I will admit, relatively unfamiliar with is the Edmonton jazz scene in particular. Why don't you tell me just a little bit about it, and then maybe some of your favorite Edmonton jazz artists, and we'll play a couple of them in a few minutes here.
I certainly can. I mean, I was always a jazz lover, listened to CKUA and CBC to get my jazz chops, but they often play very well-known names. And it wasn't until I started getting involved with the Yardbird Suite, first as a patron, long before I ever got hired here. But that's when I started to get exposed to a very deep and rich tapestry of jazz players in the city. And there are some superstar international quality players who honed their chops at the Yardbird over 67 years. The name that probably comes to mind is, who's still with us right now at the tender age of 83, is PJ Perry. And he's internationally recognized as a sax legend. And he has inspired probably now 3 generations of players who come up in the jazz scene here. So whenever I book him here, which is usually 2 or 3 times a year, year. Plus, he'll show up to jams. We always sell out. He's given such love and support. We also have a lot of connections with McEwen University Music Program and University of Alberta players. On Tuesday nights every season, September through June, we have an open jam. And that's me by far, no matter who I book in here, the jams are always my favorite day of the week because as pithy as it sounds, there's a lot of magic that happens here. We'll see elder statesmen like P.J. Perry, like Charles Austin, who was a longtime music president of the music faculty at McEwen. He'll take the stage with 17, 18, and 19-year-old up-and-comers. And I see this really cool synergy happen where all eyes will be on Charlie, but he'll be giving encouragement and teaching the youngsters, the next generation of professional jazz players, what to do and how to hone their stage chops. And we've got a very, very deep well of jazz talent in this city. And most of them do come from the University of Alberta, from McEwen University, as well as the Yardbird Suite's youth education program called the Little Birds.
That is amazing. And honestly, I'm totally with you on live jams. There is definitely a certain magic to it. I remember tons of episodes ago, we had Empanadas Ilegales on, and they're a very jam-esque Latin cumbia fusion band. And one of their songs in particular, I can't remember what one it was off the top of my head, but when I was interviewing them, they said, they're like, yeah, we actually just jammed this out in one take and it was 12 minutes long and it was beautiful. So we kept it on the record. And it is honestly the whole record, Creepy Mambo, is an amazing record, but especially that very just jammy-esque song. There's totally some magic that happens when you get a bunch of people in a room together.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think that people in particular, those who don't really understand what jazz is or they've never been exposed to it before, sometimes they associate jazz with, you know, weird noodling, freeform stuff. And there's definitely a place for that. But jazz to me is almost like the great originator of most every contemporary Western music style that there is. From blues, from the gospels, that created jazz, which then went into country and Western, that then stimulated rock music. And I can still hear jazz influences in contemporary rock today. And jazz to me is more than just improvised music. Jazz to me, there's significant crossover with soul and R&B. And when I got to the Yardbird Suite, I started to embellish, embiggen, if you were, our jazz tent. So I started booking in more reggae, island music, R&B, and soul. And one of the unifiers that all of these musical genres have is they were all born out of predominantly racial protest as a cultural way to fight the oppression of the day. And we still see that in a lot of parts of the world today. But to me, jazz, it's all coming about. It's a music of protest and a music of reclamation, a music of fighting cultural and racial oppression. And that to me, it's not just a genre of music. It is a way of life.
Amazing. Well, we're going to play, I'll probably find a P.J. Perry song for us here to try to listen to. And then when we come back, I want to keep talking a little bit more about the shows that you got at the Yardbird and your YouTube channel, because you can watch a lot of these sessions. If you can't make it to the Yardbird in Edmonton, if you live somewhere else, if the hours don't work, you can always enjoy it on the YouTube. But we'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to Background Noise. Like what you hear? Follow us on Instagram at Background Noise The Show for links to episodes, playlists, and more.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning in to Background Noise, the season 2 finale. We're doing something a little bit different this time around. Normally, as you know, I'd chat with musicians and we talk about their music. But today I wanted to mix it up a little bit and chat with somebody actually in the community radio industry because it is very important for me. It's important to all these musicians and it's very important to just the local music community that we have such amazing outlets like the Yardbirds Weed and people like Todd putting that all together. So we just listened to a couple songs from PJ Perry, a Yardbird Suite regular. But something really cool about the Yardbird Suite is their YouTube channel. They have a ton, hundreds of live videos of their shows, which I think is just absolutely incredible because then if you can't make it to that show, if you live in a different province, if you live in a different country, you can still enjoy this independent music scene, this jazz scene, and just enjoy the Yardbird. So I want to talk a little bit about some of those live videos, how the production goes, kind of why you do them, and we'll talk about one in particular in a couple minutes here. Why don't you tell me about one of your more recent ones, the Hudson Andrew Trio. We'll listen to a couple clips from that in a few minutes.
This is one of my, and I will play favorites here because I adore their music, but I also know these people as individuals, and my respect for them as individuals definitely bleeds into my respect for them as talented musicians. They've been Juno nominated, and they will be again, I'm sure, and they will take over the hardware one day. But Cody Hutchinson is one of my peers in Alberta. He's stationed in Calgary. He owns and operates Chronograph Records, and he's one of our radio peers as the jazz radio host at CKUA Radio. He has got a trio called the Hutchinson Andrew Trio with Edmonton's Chris Andrew. And generally with every recording, they have a different drummer. But one of the real special performances that I saw here in the last few years is it happened over a weekend, two nights recording of a live album that ended up being released on Chronograph Records called The Senator. And the emphasis with that was it was a salute to the late, great Senator Tommy Banks. And Tommy has been lost to us now for about 7 or 8 years. But at one point he was an national broadcaster, had a CBC radio show, had a national television show focused on jazz that was very popular back in the 13-channel universe. And what Cody did was he brought the Hutchinson Andrew Trio together with PJ Perry, because PJ had worked quite a lot with Senator Tommy Banks through the decades. And we also had a very special guest vocalist, Mallory Chipman, who's one of the bright lights in Edmonton jazz, who just happens to be the granddaughter of Senator Tommy Banks. So she came about her musical chops by DNA as well as socialization very naturally. So out of two nights here a year and a half ago, they created this album called The Senator. Some of the videos from that gig are up on our YouTube channel. And Chronograph Records and Cody in particular, they were very generous. All of the proceeds from the sale of the physical and digital copies of the Senator disc are going towards our Little Birds Youth Music Education Program. And to me, there's just so special. It's celebrating a person who is synonymous with the club, raising money for this nonprofit charitable society. And, you know, this was done with some of the best players in Canada, in my estimation.
That's wonderful. Can you actually tell me a little bit more about the Little Birds program?
Certainly can. It's been going on now for, I think, 30, 35 years. And there are some key professional players in town. And the one who comes to mind automatically is Don Berner. Don, who now has his own nonprofit society. His mojo is the production of a big band, the Don Berner Big Band. And they do four very significant gigs every year. But Don started playing here as a little bird when he was, I think, 12 years old, way back in the early 80s. Not to date us too much, but too late. And we've also had powerhouse players like Audrey Akoa, who is, she was just written up as somebody to watch in the international jazz Bible known as Downbeat Magazine. She started out as a little bird. Mallory Chipman was a little bird. So this organization has been dedicated to help develop next generations of jazz players. And when I look at our little birds combos today, we have a junior combo with kids between 11 and 15 and a senior combo with kids age 15 all the way up to 21, so university kids. Every time I see them play here on Saturday mornings or Wednesday nights, I often wonder which one of these youngsters is somebody I'm going to contract and hire for the main stage on a Saturday night in 3 or 4 years' time. We are very, very committed at the Yardbird and the Jazz Society to helping develop the next generation of professional players.
Amazing. How can people get involved with the Little Birds?
Well, you know what? It is not the easiest thing to get into. In fact, it is an audition-based program, but it's also very accessible, and we keep our dues very, very affordable. In fact, it works out to over 10 months. Kids are only paying, and the families are paying $500. So it's about $50 a month to have access to people like Joel Gray, who is the Little Birds director and has been for, I think, going on 20 years now. And he brings in a host of the professionals, both the locals as well as international touring artists, to help teach these kids. But it is audition-based. And our next round of auditions are actually coming up September 15th for this upcoming Little Bird season. And if people wanted to get some information on that, if you've got a kid who maybe is a really sharp player, or you're a player between 11 and 21 yourself, and you're interested in having some really good education in jazz, check out our website, yardbirdsuite.com, and you'll find a tab to the Little Birds.
Amazing. We're going to listen to some of the Hutchinson Andrew Trio, particularly some of the songs from that live album, The Senator. And then when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about your show on Big E Radio. We're going to do a little shameless plug here in a little bit.
Go on and you so much.
You're listening to Background Noise. Like what you hear? Follow us on Instagram at Background Noise The Show for links to episodes, playlists, and more.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning in to Background Noise today. It is the season 2 finale. We're mixing things up a little bit. We're talking with Todd, just, I'm going to say, the prolific member in the Edmonton jazz scene. That's the title that I'm giving Todd now. But not just that, he does have a show on Big E Radio as well. We've mentioned it a couple times, just the station itself, kind of what it's all about. But why don't you tell us, Todd, just a little bit about your show that you got in there in general?
Yeah, certainly. You know, when we were first talking about the station, because it was before I got the job at the Yardbird and I was coming out of the rock and roll world, I really surprised my peers because they just assumed I was going to do a classic rock show. So when I said, no, my first love is jazz. We did have a couple of different rock shows on the station at the start, but I was the first jazz guy. So my show is called Fuse in Flow. So it's a play on the term fusion, and it's heard every Sunday at 11 a.m. Alberta time. And some of the things that I find very interesting about this that were surprising to me was, on any typical Sunday, I'm probably going to have more listeners from Europe, the UK, some in Ukraine. And then, even though it's 11 a.m. Sunday, it's the wee hours of the morning in Asia. But I've got some dedicated listeners in Taiwan and Japan, probably more international listeners than I do from Alberta. And it's really cool being a basement amateur, you know, unpaid radio DJ with an international reach. And I've got people in Europe listening to some of the finest local jazz that I play, hailing from Edmonton and Alberta. And to me, that is just sweet.
Honestly, I'm with you on that one. Whenever I'm looking at the reach from the show, I'm always mind blown on where we're able to go. Just still, you know, being an unpaid basement radio DJ. You know, my show's been played in Africa. It's been played in New Zealand. It's been played in Japan. It's been played in Europe. It's, you know, played in South America. And like a lot of these places, I haven't physically been able to go, but my voice is there and these Canadian bands are there as well. And we're just sharing our love for music.
And, you know, and once again, kudos to you for sharing that mission, because like, you are fiercely local, and local to me is the indie music and the young Canadians who you're playing and giving exposure to. I mean, like, you are having an international impact, Tora, and I'm really impressed.
Aw, thanks. Why don't you tell me a little bit more, just for the listeners as well, what does your show sound like and kind of look like?
You know, I say that I'm anchored in jazz, but I do go into soul and R&B, and these were, they're not just my favorite genres, which they are. I mean, I'm a sucker for a funky bass line, but to me, my jazz tent is big in my programming. So I'm often going to, on a typical show, I'm going to play my first love of jazz, which is bop and bebop and hard bop. And those would be cats like Miles Davis, Charlie Christian, John Coltrane. I like West Coast cool jazz, and that would be guys like Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers, Dave Brubeck. And then I make a point of giving a lot of recognition and a lot of play to Alberta jazz artists, and particularly the locals in Edmonton. They may not be at a point where they're cutting full discs, but there's been a democratization of involvement in music, where people can record with some good and inexpensive audio tools their own music for digital download. And, you know, I hate Spotify, but I know it's a necessary evil. And I'll find as much local people as possible and play them. And not just because I'm playing local, because I like them, because they're quality. And there are sometimes I'll do special shows where just a few weeks ago, I did nothing but classic soul because I was recording my show on a deck. It was hot. And to me, I associate good soul like the Reverend Al Green with summertime. And then once or twice a year, I'm going to go completely away, usually have a drink or two, and then boom, I'll put together a show that is all my guilty pleasures from new wave and my youth as a punk. But for most of it, it is a combination of international and local jazz.
Amazing. We'll listen to a couple of your favorite Edmonton jazz people in just a few minutes here. We'll spin that. And then, unfortunately, I do have to wind down the show a little bit. We only got an hour on Big E Radio, so we gotta fit it all in.
Thank you.
You're listening to Background Noise. Like what you hear? Follow us on Instagram at Background Noise The Show for links to episodes, playlists, and more.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning into Background Noise, the season 2 finale. And thank you so much for just tuning in all along, whether this is the first episode that you've tuned into or you've been listening since the very beginning. I cannot thank you enough for listening to these shows, giving the love to the Canadian artists. Last time I checked, we're at over 2,000 downloads for all the shows, which is just absolutely incredible to me, thinking that these wonderful artists have been heard by over 2,000 ears across the globe. So thank you so much for your listening. That it keeps us going. All of us at Biggie Radio, people like me, it's knowing that people like you kind of care. We're chatting with Todd, a very prolific member in the Edmonton jazz scene and community radio industry. He's the one that got me started on Biggie Radio and kind of just my love for community radio. We met so many years ago, back when I was actually working for a corporate radio station. I was working for Bell Media and I was in school to be a radio host, which I got to do for a while, and it was awesome. But let me tell you, corporate radio kind of sucks. It's definitely not as cool or as fun as community radio, because they don't give love to the locals as much as they should or as much as they could. It still blows my mind, but that's a chat for another day. We're going to wind down the show a little bit, unfortunately, but I do have one more song we're going to play and we're going to chat about. Todd has an absolute soft spot for these guys and Beer Renaissance. Why don't you tell me a little bit about them?
Certainly. You know, they were new to my ears when I talked to them, I think now 2 years ago. They were recommended by one of my patrons. I looked them up and made contact and I got them booked in. And it, you know what? It was one of those gigs to me that I kind of booked on a wing and a prayer, because wasn't very familiar with the music, but I take my patron endorsements very seriously. The patrons at the Ardbird are a very knowledgeable bunch. And once again, their tent of what is considered jazz is very big. So Embira Renaissance, Embira is a type of handheld hand piano. In Embira Renaissance, that's a central instrument to their music. So I got them in here and I was beautifully surprised. The tickets went very fast. It ended up being a sellout. Their band, to me, is probably best described as some contemporary as well as traditional Afrobeat fusion. And from the first note through to the end of the second set, they had everybody's attention. They had people dancing here, and dancing doesn't happen a whole hell of a lot at a jazz club, as you could probably imagine. And they were just so super accommodating and super humble on stage. They won hearts and minds, and I think they sold out all of their merch during the set break, which is very unusual. But they're a group who have got a very, very strong place in my heart. So if you're looking them up, it's Embira, M-B-I-R-A, Renaissance. And these cats are absolutely golden. I cannot endorse them enough.
Honestly, I am so stoked to give them a listen here at the end of the episode. It'll be a couple minutes yet. Before we do, though, is there anything we should be keeping an eye out and an ear out from, either stuff happening in Biggie Radio or stuff happening at the Yardbird?
You know, Biggie Radio, and I'm proud of everybody who's came on. We've had some individuals. When I first started, I made a lot of cold calls to people like our current content director, Tammy Jo Mortensen. She's our classical curator. Deb C., who is kind of our firebrand on Friday nights, who does a rockin' show. But also, her tent is big as well. And she's got a very strong admiration for Canadian Indigenous rockers. And to me, when you talk about terrestrial radio not supporting locals, what's people like Deb C. and her Friday night show lit, that are fiercely committed to not only giving indie rock acts some notice, but indie Indigenous acts as well. And she's super fun to hear every Friday night. So, you know, there's some people coming and going, and I know that we've got some new curators coming on stream. And we're hearing stuff on Biggie Radio that is not played on terrestrial radio. The corporate radio people, the DJs don't even get a chance to pick their own songs. It's always usually programmed out of Toronto or Vancouver. And that's why I'm a firm believer, not just in Biggie Radio, but in like-minded community members like you, Tora, who come together to create something greater than the sum of its parts. And with the Yardbird Suite, I mean, if you've never been down here, we are 67 years old. Some people who are not necessarily familiar with jazz might think it's only for stodgy old people. No, I get funk in here, I get blues in here, I get soul in here, and I get jazz that I consider to be accessible and hummable, and it's not just a really intimate, cool room, but it's a place of discovery of music that becomes your favorite stuff after you've been exposed to it.
Amazing. You know, I'm going to have to take a listen to Deb C's show then, because I made it a mission with my show this year to get, I wanted at least 30% Indigenous artists on my show. I don't know if anybody else picked that up, but I noticed that as well in terrestrial radio, that there's none on terrestrial radio. And I was like, man, that's not cool. If there's a 33% mandatory CanCon anyways, I was like, there needs to be a push for Indigenous artists, because man, they have some beautiful stories within their songs. Their music has so much soul and passion to it. And even like the rappers as well too. They're absolutely amazing. We've actually been listening. I do listen to a little terrestrial radio, I will admit. But my favorite station is The Raven. Shout out to The Raven in Edmonton. They are an Indigenous terrestrial radio station. And I think they play the best music in Edmonton because they do include Indigenous content. They play everything from country to pop to rock. Their DJs are awesome. They have a lot of local content. I think they're supposed to be what a terrestrial radio station is actually supposed to be about and not a corporate radio station.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely. I became aware of them when I was at CKUA, made some friends there, and it's absolutely, they program their own stuff. They're not ordered by Toronto on what to play. They're carrying a good short, so it's a great station. And Tori, you've got such good taste.
Thank you. Thank you. There, it's honestly, it's our favorite station to listen to in the morning. And I love their little vignettes where you get to learn little different words in the various Indigenous languages, whether it's Cree or Dene or Métis. You get to learn cool little words. And I think that's so fun. Well, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you again, Todd, so much for coming on the show, telling us about the Edmonton jazz scene, about the Yardbirds, the importance of community radio. And again, thank you so much for listening over the past 2 years. I cannot believe it. This is the season 2 finale. I have some really exciting stuff planned for season 3. We're going to keep going forever until this podcast actually starts to make money. And then we'll go even more. Maybe we'll go up to weekly once that happens. But thank you again so much, Todd, for coming on. Thank you for listening. This is Imbira Renaissance.
Rock and roll.
Well, that's all I got for today, folks. Thanks so much for tuning into Background Noise. I had a blast. And hey, you know what? If you're a Canadian musician as well and you're thinking, I want to be on the show, just click the link in our Instagram bio at Background Noise the Show and we'll try to set something up.